I suppose that if you and I was given a task to carry out, they just told us what the objective was and left it up to us to get there, we'd probably have different ways of going about it, wouldn't we? People do things, everybody does things their way, and yet we're all striving to obtain the same objective. My objective is to go to heaven. I'm sure it's yours too. I learned a long time ago, I suppose you have too, that the best way to handle things in life is to understand what it is you're dealing with. To have an understanding of what it is you're dealing with, the whole picture. It is the nature of man seems to spend a lot of time questioning why things happen the way they do. We all question, well, why did that happen that way? Why did that go that way? Well, we don't have the answers to those questions generally. They happen because we have people. People do what comes into their mind. They do work with the understanding that they have. I think the best way for us to understand our situation in life, the things that you and I have to deal with, the best way to handle that is to understand God the best that we can. We need to understand our Maker, our Creator, the Lord. We need to have understanding of Him. And I believe if we understand Him and His ways a little more, then we would have a little more understanding of life itself. Now, I know the Bible says His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts than our thoughts. And I understand that, but what I'm saying is, what is God's priorities? We all have priorities, I'm sure. We have goals that we'd like to meet, things that we want to do, but what is God's priorities? I remember a few weeks ago bringing out about the Lord telling the disciples that He was going to have to go to Jerusalem and He was going to be abused and suffer at the hands of the people and He was going to be put to death, and Peter just let Him know, Lord, that you don't have to do that. That's not good for you to go there and then let them put you to death. And the Lord told Peter, He said, you're looking at it at the ways of men. And you're not looking at it from God's side of things. And I'm paraphrasing there. Lord, help us this afternoon as we continue to deal with life and the situations that we come upon, that we do our best by the help and the grace of God to look at the situation through the eyes of the Lord and what His priorities are and what He desires and wants for each and every one of us. We have a mentality, seems like some people do, when something happens to them in life they don't understand, they say, why me? Why me? Why did that have to happen to me? Well, I asked the question, why not me? You want it to happen to somebody else? You want evil on somebody else or bad on somebody else? And we say, why me? And we try to grasp the depths of what just happened and why that I have to go through this, why I have to deal with it, why I have to suffer it, whatever it may be. But when we ask those kind of questions, I'm glad to know this afternoon that He's a sovereign God. He's sovereign. He doesn't come and ask you and I what He should do and how He should do it and when He should do it. He's God. He's sovereign. He's Creator. He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And I find Him so amazing that He spoke this world into existence. He made everything the way that it is. And then He made little old you and me, and He desires to come down and dwell in us and with us and communicate with us, and He wants to help us through life. And yet sometimes something comes along a little strange or a little difficult that I have to deal with, and I say, Lord, why me? You've all heard my testimony about the traffic lights. Seems like that when I'm out there on the roads and I come up to a traffic light, it's either already red or it's going to turn red before I get there. I get a lot of red traffic lights. Sometimes I've asked the question, Lord, why? Why does it seem like that every time I come up to a traffic light, it turns red and I got to sit there? And I feel like it's such a useless waste of time to sit there at a red light. But it's allowing somebody else to go the other way, isn't it? And my dearly beloved wife, she let me know one time when I was complaining out loud. She said, that's a good time. This is a good time for you to pray for somebody. Somebody always needs prayer. Somebody always has a need. This is a good time for you to be praying for them. Sometimes, I don't know, I can't speak for everybody. We've been married going on 49 years now. Sometimes down through the years, she said some things that seemed like aggravate me a little more than what I was already aggravated. But you know what? That was good. That was good counsel, wasn't it? Instead of sitting there fuming because I got a red light, I could sit there. I know a lot of people to pray for. I know a lot of souls that need to be saved. I know a lot of people that are in the furnace of affliction. I know a lot of people that are having all kinds of problems and troubles in life. I know a lot of people. And I sure want someone to be praying for me, even when I'm sitting at a red light. There's one fellow that comes to mind, and there's many. I understand that. But there's one fellow that comes to mind that when he got the message that his children had all died, got destroyed, he got the message that he lost all of his livestock and all of his animals. When he got those messages in like 1 or 2 days, whatever it was, he lost everything that he had, it looked like, except his wife. And he could have said, why me? Couldn't he? Job could have cried out, Lord, why me? All these other people around here, I'm trying to walk upright before you. Even God testified of his integrity and his honesty and how much that Job loved him. And Job could have said, Lord, I'm doing everything the way that I believe you want me to do it. Why me? Why do I got to go through all this? Why do I got to suffer these things? You and I sometimes sit back and like silly old me sitting at a red light saying, why me? And I ain't suffering nothing like Job did. And the Lord allowed the enemy to come back and get another pass, and he brought affliction upon his body, didn't he? Boils all over his body. Suffered. And he could have said, Lord, why me? And he even had the encouragement. His wife come along and said, why don't you just curse God and die? And he said, we receive good things from the hand of the Lord. Is it not right that we receive bad things or evil things from the hand of the Lord? Who makes those choices, see? God does. I don't know. I don't understand why things are the way they are. I don't know why good things happen to bad people and bad people and bad things happen to good people. I don't know. But I'm glad that I know that God is sovereign and that it's in His hands and He does what He will in the affairs of men. I'm glad to know that. I'm glad you're not my judge. I'm glad you're not the one making the decisions for me in my life. And I'm sure you're glad I'm not making the decisions for you in your life. I'm glad there's one greater and higher than us that sees and knows and understands all things and has our best interest at heart. He is our best interest at heart, folks. He wants to help every one of us make heaven when we leave this world. So I'm glad today, and I feel like that it would be good for us always to remember that whatever situation we find ourselves in, that we remember, God knows all about it. It's in God's hands. And it'd be best for me if I would just take those situations and take them and put them on the altar and leave it there and say, Lord, I don't understand this. Lord, I wish this wasn't happening, but it's happening. And so I'm going to give it back to you, and I'm asking you to take care of it for the benefit and work it out for the benefit of my soul. That's what's really important, isn't it? None of us like to suffer. None of us like to hurt. Pain is not a good thing, is it? But nevertheless, the Lord knows what's best. And He has a different path for each and every one of us. He's chosen a different path, hasn't He? For each and every one of us. And every one of those paths will lead us to heaven if we'll follow the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? It'll lead us to heaven because He knows your personalities. He knows our makeups. He knows what it is, as I said this morning, that makes us tick. And He knows how to use that and work with that for our benefit and for our good. Even when I don't understand it, Lord, He still knows how to do that for my good. Let's look at a couple verses here in Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. In the 23rd verse, He says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Even Jeremiah, the prophet there, he recognized that. And he's crying out and he's praying to the Lord and he says, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Oh, folks, I can look back on my life. Most of you know my testimony. I took my own way. I directed my own steps, found myself way out there away from God. Way out there in the world. Way out there deep in sin. Took my own way. Found myself in trouble. Found myself in a place where the situation looked hopeless to me. And it was hopeless without God. And yet this same God that saw me going off that way, I was like the prodigal son in the Bible. That went out there and spent his living and did his own thing in life until he got down into the pig pen and realized, you know, I could do better than this. I can do better than this. And oh, I remember that night again when the Lord talked to my heart and I ran down to that altar of prayer and gave all my garbage to Him. And He gave me peace and joy and happiness in my soul. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Father. But He plainly says here in His Word, it's not in us to direct our steps. You can try if you want to. I see people today trying to direct their own steps. And I see them butting their head right up against a brick wall, so to speak. They keep trying and trying, doing the same thing. You know what the definition of insanity is, don't you? You're doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. Doesn't seem to work that way. But people are doing it. People are living that way today. Well, Lord, I've tried this so many different times and it still doesn't work, but I'm going to try it one more time. Why don't you try God's way? Why don't you humble yourself, submit yourself to the Lord, and do it His way? He said, Oh, Lord, correct me, but with judgment. Not in your anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. You know, that's what I want the Lord to do for me. I want Him to correct me. I want Him to make amends in my life. And I've found that down through the years, as I'm getting up to be an older fellow now, and I find down through the years that when I made the mistakes, when I do things that I ought not to do, when I get off the path, it's not in me to direct my steps. And when I go take up my own and want to direct my own steps, I find the Lord is always working in my life and making amends and turning things around, getting me back on track. Talking to Brother John on the phone one day not long ago, we was talking about the highway of holiness. I said, you know what's on the side of those highways, that highway? He said, what? I said, the ditch. The ditch. That's what's on the side of the highway. You go out here on route, what is that route going into Xenia here going through? 68. Huh? 68. 68, is that it? You get out there on that road where it's windy and all that and see how much of a burn you got. There's places on that road that there, you get off just a little bit, you know where you're going to be? In the ditch. You know what Jesus said about the ditch? He said the blind lead the blind. They both fall in the ditch, didn't he? We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, folks. We need to keep our focus on the sovereign God that knows best for you and I. He knows a lot better than I do. He knows a lot better than you do. We need to keep our eyes on the sovereign God. Correct me, Lord. Oh, we don't like correction. We don't want somebody to tell us we're wrong. But I've been wrong so many times, it's getting easier and easier for me to accept correction. I've made so many mistakes in my past. I want the Lord to correct me. Correct me, but with judgment. Not in anger. Don't do it in anger. I don't want you to be angry with me, Lord, but I want you to do it in mercy. I want you to do it in love. Lord, I'm coming to you and I realize that I really don't know how to get through this life on my own. I realize I really don't know how to do this without you. Lord, I want you to make the corrections that are needed in my life. He continuously makes changes in our lives to get us back on track. To get us back on the high, get us out of the ditch, if you will. He continually does that for you and I. We got our heads down sometimes, don't even realize what God is doing, yet God is merciful and God is good to us. God didn't have all bad for Job. He let Job be tested. He let him lose his family. He let him lose all of his cattle and he let him be struck down with boils. But at the end of his life, things got twice as good, didn't they? He had daughters that were more fair than all the daughters in the country at the time. He had more children. He had doubled the livestock and all those things. God will bless you. He doesn't want to see you suffer just to be suffering. He has a purpose in suffering. He has a purpose in the fiery furnace that we find ourselves in sometimes. He has a purpose for those things. Folks, he had a purpose for the three Hebrew children. When the king looked in there and saw a fourth man in there, God wanted to be glorified. He wanted to be lifted up. He wanted to see there was someone that was well able to take care of his children. Even in the fiery furnace. You still think he's able to do that today? Where's our faith? Where's our trust in the Lord? Oh, I tell you, I kind of titled this little thought this afternoon of God's diverse ways. He's got so many different ways. My brother Kenneth used to say, you go down to Holly Hill, South Carolina, they'll treat you so many different ways, you'll have to like one of them. They're good people down there, aren't they? Folks, God will treat you so many different ways. You will love the ways that God treats you. Yes, you may find yourself in a hard place. You may find yourself in a difficult place. I know some folks, even recently, that's gone through some hard and some difficult places. Never dreamed they'd ever have to face those kind of things, but God brought them through it. And they're going to be stronger for it. And they're going to see a greater God at work in their heart and life. Folks, it's important for us, you know, to trust the Lord. Some people, well, we all ask the Lord when we get sick, we ask the Lord to heal us. And I believe he's well able to do that. The Bible calls him the great physician. We ask him to heal us. We ask him to supply a need. Now, what about this? Sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't. Does that mean he doesn't love us like he does someone else? Well, you're blessing them, Lord, but you don't seem to be blessing me. What does the Bible say? The Bible says there's no respecter of persons with God. He loves every one of us the same, doesn't he? He gave his life for every one of us. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Well, Lord, I've asked you, and you didn't do it. You didn't help me. You didn't do it the way that I thought it needed to be done. You've all probably been there where you asked the Lord, maybe told the Lord, Lord, I need this done this way, and he didn't do it that way, but he did it another way, and you find out it was better than the way you had in mind. Why is that? The way of man is not in himself. We want to take the way of God, folks. We want him to lead us and guide us. He has so many different ways that he can work in our hearts and work in our lives. Some folks come before the Lord, they get a serious affliction, cancer, whatever it might be upon their body, and they call on the Lord and they have the same faith as someone over here, but the Lord doesn't heal them and takes them on out of here. We're all going out of here someday, aren't we? We can stand back and say, Lord, why? I'm going to tell you why, because he works his purpose in each and every one of our lives. His purpose. When you have fulfilled God's purpose in your life, you're ready to go home, folks. You're ready to go home. When you fulfill, completed God's purpose for you, you're ready to go home. And God knows when that is. God knows when it is. Lord, help us this afternoon. People, I've done enough funerals over the years to know that people leave here in all different stages, ages of life. They leave here in all different ages in life. God is sovereign. He knows what he's doing. I trust him. I believe in him. He put us here on earth. The Bible says he knows us by name. And the very hairs of our head are numbered. Some of you got few hairs. He doesn't have to count very far to get mine. But he knows all about us, folks. He's very well acquainted with us. I want to be acquainted with him. I want to say, Lord, not my will, but your will. I want to do it your way because your way is best. We have that in our songbook. God's way truly is best. And we got to recognize that. We got to be willing to accept that. We can say to ourselves, as some of us that have been around here for a while, we can look at others and say, Lord, how's come you didn't heal so-and-so? And they had just as, seemed to have just as strong a faith as anybody else, but you didn't heal them. You took them out of here because the Lord was finished with them. Is health? Here's human reasoning or thinking here. Is health a good sign that God loves one person more than he loves another? Because that person's in good health and you're not? Does that mean God loves them better than he does you? What does the scripture say over in Corinthians? It says, our light afflictions are but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and eternal greater measure, or something to that, a greater what? A greater reward. These light afflictions, it's but a, we're only here for a moment. If you're here 100 years, folks, you can't prolong your life much past that. People trying to prolong their lives, they're doing this and doing that. I find it amazing, all the old people like me that are, they're selling wrinkle creams to and old age stuff to and all those kind of stuff, trying to make themselves look younger and feel better. Folks, like I told this congregation, growing old ain't for sissies. You gotta be tough to grow old. Pains and the aches are gonna come. They're here. I experience them all the time. Some of you do too. You're not all as old as I am. But we, folks, God, it's in God's hands. We're gonna let him take care of it. Correct me, but with judgment, not in anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Just think what God could do if he wanted to. If he wanted to. Even Jesus, how did Jesus say that over there when he was here? He said, don't fear the one that is able to destroy your body. Fear the one that is able to destroy both soul and body. Fear God. That's the one we need to have the respect for, the love for. I'm glad today that God knows. He knows his, he knows what's best for every one of you. I think about another man in the Old Testament Bible. The Lord sent Isaiah. He said, you go tell him, Hezekiah, set your house in order. Because he's going to die. He's going to die. The Lord determined, Hezekiah, get your house in order. Get things ready. Get things the way that you want to leave them, the way they ought to be, because you're going to die. And the prophet went back out, and Hezekiah prayed a little short prayer, reminded the Lord all that he had done, and the Lord turned the prophet around, sent him back in and said, God said he's going to add 15 years to your life. How many of you believe God can do that? He's sovereign, folks. It's all in his hands. He's going to bring the world to judgment one of these days. Some people don't believe it, but I do. I believe the Lord's coming back to bring this thing to judgment one of these days. This world's going to pass, earth's going to pass away, the Bible says. So Hezekiah prayed a little prayer and he got an answer. The Lord said, I'm going to give you 15 years to your life. Folks, here is a classic example of the wisdom and the sovereignty of God. This is a classic example. God gave him 15 more years, and in those 15 years, he had a son whose name was Manasseh. And if you know your history of the Old Testament and of the kings, you'll know that Manasseh grew up, became king over Israel or Judah, one of the two. He became a king and sat on his dad's throne, and he was one of the most wicked, one of the most evil kings that ever sat on a throne. You think God didn't know that? God knew what happened when he gave him 15 more years to his life. God knows us. He understands us. He knows what people are going to do and what they're not going to do. They're not going to humble themselves. They're not going to submit to the ways of the Lord and the things that are right. But Hezekiah wanted to live a little longer, and he gave him 15 years. But folks, it cost the children of Israel. Those 15 years cost them. This old Manasseh, he was a king that worshipped Baal. He worshipped the idols, sent his children up to the Baal, and they passed through the fire, burnt the children as a sacrifice. He did all kinds of evil things. God told him, go tell him he's going to set his house in order. He's going to die. I remember one time years ago, a brother, an older brother, came to me and he said, I'd like to visit with you for a little bit. I said, all right. He said, I'm not well. Probably am not going to be around here much longer. But he said, I got some children that I'd like to go visit one more time and tell them they need to find the Lord. He said, what do you think about that? Said it would be a sacrifice and it would be hard for me to do it. But he loved his children. We love our children. We don't want to see our children lost. Then I said, well, brother, of course I'm looking to the Lord. Lord, what do I tell this man? I told him about Hezekiah. And I said, brother, how many times have you been to see your children? How many times have you tried to encourage them to give their heart and life to the Lord? He said, lots of times. I said, maybe the Lord wants you to just leave that with him. And I told him about Hezekiah and what happened in Hezekiah's life. And he said, brother, I appreciate that. He said, that's exactly what I'm going to do. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Just give it to the Lord and let the Lord take care of it. I had to leave California at a moment's notice and come back here to one of the southern states because he passed away and he wanted me to do his funeral. Folks, God knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for me. He knows what's best to permit to come into your life. And he knows how to use that for our benefit and to his glory if we let him. If we let him. You know, there's some folks in the book of Hebrews. I think I'll turn over there just to maybe read a few verses. Folks, in the book of Hebrews, in the 11th chapter, folks, do we believe that God loves one more than another? I believe this chapter here points out and says the answer to that question is a resounding no. It isn't a matter of what he permits or allows to happen in your life that proves his love to us. That's not what proves his love to us. What proves his love to me is that he will work for my good and to the benefit of my soul to bring me around and direct my steps that I'll not fall and that I'll be faithful. That's what proves that he loves me. These folks over here that had faith, these folks over here that trusted God, and it cries out to them. And let's begin at verse 32. What more shall I say? Time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and David also and Samuel and the prophets. You study into those names and those fellows and you see what befell them there. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of the lions. Daniel, is thy God that you serve able to deliver thee? O king, live forever. God sent an angel this night and closed the lion's mouth. Men of faith. Men that trusted God. And God sent an angel to protect him. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies and the aliens. These are ones that see, in our mind, in our eyes, they were successful. They got the victory in their battles and their trials. But what about the women that received their dead, raised up to life again? Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. He allowed them to be tortured. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, even the Son of God. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. That sound like God loved them? The way the human mind reasons, it doesn't sound like much good love, does it? But God loved them. But he said, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves in the earth. And these all, I like this. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise that you and I have today, but God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Men of renown. Men that God blessed. Men that stood true. Men that stood faithful. I don't understand this, Lord. Why are you permitting them to saw me asunder? Why are you permitting them to take my life? Why are you permitting them to do that? Be faithful. Folks, be faithful. God's got this. You know, as the old insurance people says, folks, with God, you're in good hands. You're in good hands. He's got this. Men of renown. Men that God didn't bring through. And he even talks about Moses here. He could have grown up and probably been a Pharaoh in Egypt, but he said he chose rather. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. What kind of a fool would choose to suffer affliction? That's not foolish, folks. That's not foolish. That's someone that really has a love for God. Someone that has a love and a trust for the sovereign God that created you and I. It says here, some of them were miraculously delivered, while others were imprisoned and tortured and slain. But notice, every one of them was cited in the Word of God equally for their faith. Everyone was recommended equally for the faith that they had in God and for the trust they had in them. Ever since Christianity, ever since Christ came into the world, people have suffered for His name. People have been put to death. People have been abused. Right now in this world, there's several countries, and my wife was reading a list to me the other day, several countries you don't really want to be in if you're a Christian. Number one was North Korea. Persecution, they'll put you to death. They'll persecute you. They'll think of all kinds of evil things to do to you, to destroy you. These people suffered. Their faith was cited. Their faith was in God. The issue here in reading these words, folks, is not God's love or the strength of one's faith, but the sovereignty of an Almighty God. I don't know why He permits, and I've said this before, I don't know why He permits a woman. And we've all heard these terrible stories that has four or five little children come down with cancer and takes her out of here. And then turns around and you got another young mother with four or five children that's an addict and just lets them go do whatever they want, doesn't parent them or anything, and abuses her own children, and He lets her go right on living. I don't understand those things. You don't either. Except to know that He's a sovereign God. He does what He will. But I'll say this about Him. He's a just God. He's a just God, folks. Let's look at a scripture here real quick. Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter and 11th verse. Because sentence, Ecclesiastes 8 and 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the son of men is fully set in them to do evil. I'm getting by with it, so I'm going to continue to do it. Folks, there's people that's going to get by with evil until they leave this world, until they meet this just God at the judgment. Then they'll not get by with it anymore. I've had people say to me, well, how do these people get by with this? How does God let this go on? How does God let them? Folks, you can't do wrong and get by. You may leave this old world. You may do injustice here in this old world, but you won't get past the judge when eternity comes down upon each and every one of us. You won't get past the judge. Look at verse 14. There's a vanity. It's vanity, he says, which is done upon the earth. There be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. The just men seems like they get treated or they get abused or they go through suffering just like they were wicked people. But he said again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said, this is vanity also. I don't understand. And I just brought a case in point on that about the two mothers and their children. I don't understand all those things. But I believe I understand God a little bit more. And that helps me to be able to know that everything He does is right. Lord, I don't understand it, but You permitted it, and I know it's right, because You have a purpose. I want the Lord to work His perfect will in me, don't you? I want Him to work His perfect will in my life. If that means suffering, if that means persecution, and Lord help me, this got to go beyond words, folks. It's got to go to the consecration that we make to God and our submission to God to say, Lord, I want Your will to be done, just like the Savior did. Not my will, but Thy will be done. Jesus came to glorify the Father, and He did. He glorified the Father. Lord, help us submit ourselves to God's wisdom and sovereignty, that we would glorify Him. You know, I've talked to people, some folks that are afflicted. They call on God to heal them. But they get more grace and more help spiritually from God if they stay in their sufferings. If you suffer with Him, the Bible says you shall reign with Him. They get better in their suffering spiritually than if they had been healed. God knows what it's going to take. And I have to be willing to accept that, to believe it with all my heart. People that have to trust the Lord, folks, they learn of His grace for each day. And what it really does is cause them to anticipate their new body. That's what my brother used to say here. I got a new body waiting on me. I won't have this old bad hip. I can't hardly walk and get around. I have a new body. Let's not forget what God has prepared for us. What God has waiting for us. We always want to focus on the here and now. We got blinders on sometimes, and we can't see the whole perspective of God and who He is. Need to move along and finish this up. I want to go back to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. Probably all know this verse. 29 and 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. He knows. He knows what He's going to do with us if we'll let Him. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. He has a purpose for each and every one of us. If you don't believe He has a purpose for you, folks, you're missing something. He has a purpose for you. Why are we living here and now? Didn't we live back in the 1800s? Maybe if time goes on, we were born for the here and now. And God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And the more that we understand Him and His sovereign ways, folks, the more He can work that purpose out in each and every one of our lives. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you an expected end. It is our duty, my duty, folks, to seek the Lord for His will in my life. Not be like the Samson that we talked about this morning. I want this, and I want that, and I want this over here, and I want that gal over there. No, it's my duty to seek the Lord to see what His will and His purpose is for me in my life. It's my duty to do that. May the Lord help us to see God in a greater way. Look at things through God's eyes best we can. Through His perspective. Through His priorities for each and every one of us in our life. Then I want to turn over here to the book of Psalms and read what David said. The 18th chapter of Psalms, In the 20th verse, it says, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." You say, the Lord blessed him because of his righteousness. That's what David said here. But let's look back on David just a second or a little, just a minute or two and see all the foolish things David did. All the mistakes that he made. Taking another man's wife, numbering the people. But yet he said, the Lord rewarded me according, not really his righteousness, but God's righteousness. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me, because I have kept. Don't you want to keep the ways of the Lord? And have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Well, we go back to the one that I talked about at the beginning. When Job had all of his maladies, things happened to him, God testified and said he was upright too. And he was a man of integrity too. God had a different path for Job than he did David, didn't he? He had a different thing in mind for David than he did Job. Same way with you and I. He doesn't have the same thing in mind for all of us. But yes, yet his objective is to get us to heaven, isn't it? And he'll do that. He'll do that if we'll let him. All of his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes. I was upright before him. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. God loves us, folks. He loves every one of us. He's no respecter of persons with God. He just has the best way, if I can say it that way, to work in each and every one of our lives if we'll let him. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Folks, we do foolish things when it's given into our hands and we take it and run with it. Foolish. We do foolish things. I can testify to that. But I want us to understand God is diverse in all of his ways. He doesn't do everything the same way every time. I remember when I was listening Wednesday night to testimonies, the thought of my father came to mind years and years ago. He said he came home from work one night and he went down in the basement and he got back alone in a corner. He wanted to have prayer and talk to the Lord. And he said the Lord just come down and blessed him. It was just a personal, sweet experience. And he said, I went to work the next day and couldn't hardly wait to get home. When he came home the next day, he went down there and he said, I got in the very same spot. And I wanted that very same blessing. And he said, I didn't get it. I didn't get it. He didn't bless me like he did the night before. Folks, sometimes the Lord is going to expect you and I to pull ourselves up by the bootstrap, so to speak. And when the Lord is taking a little distance and letting you and I, it's a love check. How much do you love him? We love those blessings. I understand that. But when he comes along and that's all he ever does is bless us and there's no adversity in our lives, we're not going to grow very well. We all need a little adversity in our lives in order to grow. Something about it, it's just the soil of adversity will help a soul to grow stronger in the Lord. I thank the Lord today. I'm glad he knows. He knows and He understands and He loves every one of us the same. I thank the Lord for loving me. Pray for me.